For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
All right, a lot to get to here with the Texans. Remember, I believe it's 3 o'clock. Good hell. I believe it's 3 o'clock, Tyler and Cheryl. Check that on me. I believe that is the time that they have to get the rosters down to 53. So this time tomorrow, they will be having to get these roster cuts down. They got some guys they got to cut. They've made a few non-surprisers thus far today. We'll let you know any of the others. So it is a big 24 hours coming up for the Texans and Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, and their front office team, because they got to figure out the guys that aren't going to be on this team, the guys they want to try to sneak onto the practice squad, the guys they want to use, because I don't know how much it was when you played, but that, honest to God, now, the way the NFL goes now, the practice squad is most definitely damn near week to week almost a part of the 53, because we've watched it the last several years how many guys come up, go down, play 1 week, don't play. So it is key how many of the guys on the 53 and then those other 16 that also make it too.
Yeah, well, hell, back when I played, there was only so many times you could move back and forth and it was a lot smaller. So they've got more guys and they can, they're a lot more flexible, I believe, with the practice. Well, I don't know all the details of practice squad.
I think, but especially since COVID.
And yeah, COVID is what, you know, COVID is, I think, what spurred a lot of the movement. But then they realized during COVID that with that many players, it really helps. You know, it really helps with all your scout team work when you've got that many guys. And obviously throughout the year, you know, being able to have guys in your system and guys that can step in and play, obviously it's great for the NFL product. It's better for the NFL product for teams to have guys that are in their system step in and play versus calling guys off the street that have to play the next week kind of deal because your scout team's not big enough or your practice squad's not big enough. So, yeah, it's a different game today. There's no doubt. And the thing about Nick Caserio is he's on record of talking about how it's really not a 53. It's more of a 69.
It's really about the 69.
There you go. It's about that 69. And that's the number. That's what
I wonder at all, did they think about it, making it 15 or 17?
Way to make it even 70
to get off, or 68, yeah, to get off of 69.
I do wonder what put them
at, Tyler wouldn't have that.
How'd they land at 16
to get to 69? I honest to God, I think whoever's making the decisions, or people like somebody like a Tyler,
it's a great number.
They're making the decision and said, let's have some fun, guys. Let's lock it here at 69.
It's really about the 69.
Because, yeah. I mean, because they could have gone 17 or 15. Yeah, they could have gone 18. Yeah, they could have gone.
It's a nice, solid 14. Number.
But they went exactly to get to 6'9".
It's that perfect symmetry. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it fits together upside down perfectly.
Yeah.
You flip one number over and it just.
Like puzzle pieces.
It's like a glove.
It's like a glove.
Like a glove.
Aggressive positioning. So. We'll see how that works out.
Y'all see Kikuchi last night?
Always keep my eyes open for the Kikuchi.
Oh. Yeah, I saw him. Like I said, he's perfected to 5 2/3 innings.
I love Kikuchi!
Honest to God, I don't know how many starts he's had, but I believe he's gone 5 2/3 like 3 times.
He's gone 5 1/3.
Did he go 1/3? One of each. I don't know why it gets there. All right. D'Amico spoke to the media today, and he talked about what we talked about last week. Like, hey, when are we gonna hear about this Will Anderson Jr. thing, man? Preseason's over. He hasn't practiced, and I mean, we got to be close to a month on this thing. Here is him addressing the Will Anderson situation.
Yeah, we'll see where Will is over the next couple of days. Will has been doing really good.
All right. To me, I know it was short, 6 seconds worth, but as he said, we'll see on Will, but the finish of that sounds like a guy that's confident that Will Anderson is going to be available for him. And I don't know. I know what you were saying. Maybe they're just kind of trying to keep him from himself. But that to me, if I'm a Texans fan, just listening to his voice and how he spoke about it, because I remember when we talked to him about Christian Harris, it was a, hey, man, we'll see what happens when he gets ready, when his time is ready.
Yeah.
There, he's been doing good. Good. And you can kind of see it in his face, like, he'll be fine. So, to me, that made me feel better about Will's chances playing.
Yeah, look, I seeing Will the other day walking, at least, I mean, there's no limp. There's no – it didn't appear to be any issue just walking around. So, like I said, I just – I'm sure there's an injury, and I'm sure there's some rehab going on, but I'd be – it's tough for me to get to a place where I don't believe that some level of this is just protecting Will from himself and making sure that it's right and not letting him push it before it matters. Will's a guy – 51 is a guy that I plan on seeing opening day on the field.
Yeah, and I feel better about that because I was wondering, like, hey, man, whoa, it's been a minute, so – I do think he did sound – it made that sound better. Also, reports coming out that multiple teams have reached out to the Texans to see if wide receiver John Mechie, the third, would be available in a trade due to the plethora of receivers on the roster for the Texans. Unclear if Houston would move him, but several teams are keeping an eye on him thus far. What's your thoughts on that? Any chance you see John Mechie getting moved from this?
Oh, yeah. No, I think there's a chance. Yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is the last two preseason games, John Mechie, he didn't just show up and show out. John Mechie showed several, I'd say, plus receiver character that he's still capable of doing those things. Whether you're talking about making somebody miss, you talk about making the difficult catch, you're talking about creating separation in between the 20s on a mid-range pass game, or you're talking about the goal line where coverage tightens up, windows tighten up, create enough separation right there to catch a touchdown. The work John Mechie did over the last 2 weeks is very convincing. And now, what does convincing mean? It's convincing that the kid can play. Now we're in a spot where we're moving in a direction of he's trending in the right direction. It's not just a guy that's still living off, well, he was a second-round pick and he was really good at Alabama, and, boy, he's got a great story behind him, and man, if he can rebound from the sickness, the illness, and man, he's great friends with C.J. Stroud, and, man, every time he makes a play, he really moves the sideline. Like, there's tangible evidence over the last 2 weeks of this dude, and I think, to me, it's as convincing evidence as you can have in the preseason. He just showed, again, the ability to do several things, not just be a one-trick pony at the wide receiver position, and I think it's very promising. Look, whether you're talking about a guy that was it promising enough for Nick and D'Amico to say, we want this guy on a team and we're not fielding any calls off of him or for him, or was it impressive enough for other teams to go, yeah, I want to gamble on that. Yeah, our wide receiver room it needs some help. Former second round pick,
because there's some teams that want to be like very much what the Texans did with Joe Mixon. Like, hey, I don't want him to just get released. If that's what you're going to do, I want to get my hands on him. I don't want to battle other teams to get his services if he gets released. I want to jump in there and be the one team that can go pick him up so I can go and trade.
Absolutely, it's the only way to confirm. To confirm anything, you know, I mean, there's a lot. This is a three wide receiver league now for the most part, yeah. And there's a lot of teams out there that are nowhere near the Texans as it pertains to their wide receiver room. And John Mechie could help them right now, and John Mechie would be a huge. Look, it's a roll of the dice, but John Mechie, if he continues trending in the direction that he trended in for the last 2 weeks. Would be a big time get for somebody.
Yeah, at least as you said, what he has done has brought people to the table of, hey, I might give up something. And if they can get Well, if they can get anything like a third or a fourth, yeah, something like that, that one may be hard to turn down because the gap between him, Xavier Hutchinson, Robert Woods, whoever you want to throw in there to help this team right now, isn't large enough to turn that down.
Yeah,
to me, from what you
got, you got two wide receivers that have I think some level of trade value right now that people are probably calling. That's Robert Woods and John Metchie, and you know I don't, depending on what you're looking for, depending on how, you know, are you play, is it a future player? Are you looking for right now? Are you looking for a guy that you're gonna, that's gonna need reps and you need to coach up? Or are you looking for a guy that's plug and play? I mean, they're totally two different dudes, and I think they're probably getting calls on both of those guys.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, the Astros, they're able to get a split in the series after winning last night on Sunday Night Baseball, and they now have a 4.5-game lead on the Mariners right now in the West. But they went 6-3 last night. Kikuchi with another solid start, 5 2/3, and obviously keeps his team in it. And Alex Bregman with a big homer there late, and Mauricio Dubon with a big catch late in that game after they got that lead to help keep that game where it was at 5-3. They win that game there. They split there. Now they head to Philadelphia, Clint. But we talked about it earlier. I think when you look at not having your two best players, no Kyle Tucker and then no Yordan. Now, you expected not to have Kyle Tucker, but Yordan, you didn't expect to play 3 of the 4 games in this series without him because he slept wrong on a neck again. To split that and then to really be in control of most of the games in the series, especially from a starting perspective, you outpitched the Orioles. I think this is a really good step to kind of knowing that you can compete this year with some of the best teams in the playoffs. I thought this was a successful weekend. Even though they split the series, I thought it was successful when you kind of look at everything that went into that series.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt it was successful. You split the series. Would you have liked to have taken 3 of 4, maybe even 4 of 4? You had the chance. I mean, you got the starting pitching was good enough for that, no doubt about it. As you said, you led for the most part of the series, and look, I'll take the split. No Yordan, no Kyle Tucker. If you can split with the best teams in baseball without that right there, we don't need to say anything else. You get those guys back. I feel like if you can split with them, you can win the series, if not sweep the series, you know, with them. So that's a statement in its own. What I was looking at going into this series was 3 of the 4 starters. I'm not worried. There's nothing Fromber can do against any opponent that's going to make me feel better or worse. Like I'm confident. I feel good about Fromber. I like Fromber being in my starting rotation in the playoffs, period, to make a run. That's it. There's nothing he can do, good or bad, that's going to push him outside the top four. Or to be honest with you, to push him above.
He was rolling, by the way, till he got into some trouble.
Yeah. But he did a good job. Not knocking the job. He did a hell of a job. But that was a non-factor for me coming into this series. It was all about the two youngsters and Kikuchi, and all three of them pitched well enough to win. And that for me, that against was that against that lineup, that was all I was looking for. We got a split out of the deal, and we just keep this thing moving. I think you feel better about those three guys, really all four of them, if you look at, again, Fromber's job. You feel better about all four guys that started against the Baltimore Orioles than you did before the series started.
Yeah. Real quick, Mauricio Dubon, after he busted into that wall, Joe Espada said it, and this was last night, we'll hopefully get another update maybe today, seemed to think that he escaped any serious injuries. Doctors checked him out and everything was okay. Dubon said felt like he had gotten beat up. That's where he is. And then this coming from Alex Bregman after the game. Alex Bregman got one ground ball during his back-to-back days at third base, and his elbow, according to him, is feeling all right. Asked if he's feeling it on swings, Bregman said sometimes he is and sometimes not. If you square it up, you don't really feel it. So best thing to do is just square it up is what Bregman had to say. So that is the latest there. He played back there, only had one play to make. But he is – that is interesting. This is the first to me that I've heard him say he's feeling it on swings. Before it was like, I'm not feeling, don't feel it, don't really feel pain when I swing or throw. So that's one to keep an eye on there.
Yeah, the fact that he's playing third base for me, Ron, is enough. I mean, if these guys are risking, you know, losing him at the plate just to get his glove in the field. And look, again, I understand the glove. I get it. But it's
especially
just
with no Alvarez.
The fact that they're putting him out there, I've got to believe, tells me there's little to no risk in aggravating it, making it worse to a point where you lose him for the season. I mean, if it's a little bit of swelling and it needs to sit out a day and your super utility guy needs to go play third base, cool. Or maybe Whitcomb can play third base. Or maybe DeCenzo can play third base. Whoever it may be, I'm fine with. But him playing third base consistently is, to me, it's a statement on his health.
And we could look at this here a little bit later, but I want to read through the lineup quickly as they play the Phillies tonight. There is no Altuve in the lineup today. And that means there's no Dubon either to play second. So they're going somewhere else, which makes you wonder what's up with Altuve right now as they play a big series against the Phillies. Bregman is leading off, playing third again tonight. I don't understand this. And Yordan Alvarez is in left field, so he is back in the lineup. So he's in the lineup. So Bregman and Alvarez are both in the lineup, and neither are playing DH. Diaz is the catcher tonight. Pena's at shortstop. Singleton is the DH with Victor Caratini playing first base. Gamble is in right field. Myers in center. And then Shea Whitcomb is at second base tonight. So interesting choice here. Looks like they're maybe trying out some things here.
Yeah.
As they have Singleton in the lineup as a DH, that's the lineup. Is
well, the Gamble move is paying off. I mean, he's swinging the bat well.
Yeah, he swung the bat pretty well. So that's the lineup here.
Shout out to my guy Alex Bregman.
Big 3-3, number 3.
Do want to pass this along? Big news out of the NFL, and this has finally come to an end. The Cowboys and All-Pro wide receiver CeeDee Lamb agree on a 4-year. $136 million extension with $100 million in guaranteed money, including a wide receiver record, $38 million in signing bonus. So he jumps over, as you predicted, he jumps over Justin Jefferson, $34 a year is what he is going to get, according to Ian Rapoport. So CeeDee Lamb finally gets in there, and he'll be ready for the season opener, they're hoping, against the Browns. But that deal finally comes to an end.
Yeah, look, Jerry had to get this one done. Unless his intentions moving forward were going to be just clean house and start over and rebuild, yes. Which at his age, I don't. Unless that was going to be the moment he turned it over to his kids or sold the Cowboys, one of the two. This had to get done. Whatever direction you take with Dak Prescott, whether he hits free agency and you lose him and you have to go a different direction with a young quarterback, or you go a different direction with a veteran quarterback, or you bring Dak back, or hell, if somebody in the building is the guy that you end up having to go with, CeeDee Lamb is the one that takes all the pressure off the quarterback. CeeDee Lamb's the one that gives your coordinator a guy in the pass game to scheme around. He's extremely versatile. He can do all different things. He's really good outside of scheme. This was a must get for Jerry to get this done, assuming they want to continue to push and try to win ball games and not just blow it up and rebuild it. This is the move that had to be made.
All right, coming up, and we'll do this every single Monday, our players of the game, that preseason game. Hey, look, some guys had a big performance. Some guys helped themselves somewhere. So our players of the game coming from the final preseason game, that'll be coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome in to The Drive. And hopefully, fellas, it doesn't have to get this difficult the rest of the way. Shout out to our good friends at Man Eye Institute as they sponsor our player of the game. And that final preseason game, we said not a lot of guys were dressing, not a lot of guys that play. Hell, we knew CJ wasn't playing, but Davis didn't dress. Blake Fisher didn't dress. A lot of guys didn't dress. But
Blake Fisher didn't dress.
We'll have to get to
Blake
this.
Fisher didn't.
We'll have to get to that. That was as interesting as anything. But let's hit it. Our Man Eye Institute player of the game. Remember, Man Eye Institute, see life better. Who is your player of the game, Clint? Who for you do you think had the big one?
Well,
it's your player of the game.
Yeah, this one's easy for me, man. Cam Akers. Every time the guy gets an opportunity, he goes out and his stock just continues to skyrocket. Whether it's here in Houston or it's somewhere else, and he did it again. Doesn't matter who he's out there with, because if you really look at it, it wasn't just second teamers. It wasn't like a solid second unit was out there. Hell, you just mentioned Blake Fisher, who was a backup tackle, wasn't out there. Brevin Jordan, backup tight end, wasn't out there. I mean, you've got a lot of dudes that are second teamers that are going to at least the impact players that are second teamers that weren't out there. So he goes out there with a group that's thrown together, and Cam Akers goes out and averages over 7 yards a carry. You see,
had some moments where he some oohs and ahs.
Yeah, look, I mean the big cutback that once again it's the second time he's done it, and some people say, oh, well, it was just the cutback was there. Look, the cut in an outside zone scheme, the cutback is a big time option. If teams are overplaying it, if they're fast flowing, boom, you cut it back. It's just part of him knowing the offense and him having played in this offense multiple times. The cutback's there. He knows how to read it, knows when it's there. He's hit it twice this preseason. Hit it again Saturday. You know, earlier in the preseason, Hall of Fame game 1, we didn't even know if his Achilles were going to hold up. He's out there spin moving inside the 20-yard line to get the team down closer to the goal line. Did it again, this past week. Had a three-spin run, which I don't encourage that by anybody, but he damn sure made it look easy and it made it effective. There was a couple of runs that you could tell it was blocked up pretty good, and he got up in the seam and then in traffic was able to make a one cut and get out the gate. He just continues to shine and continues to put pressure on D'Amico Ryans and company to make the decision at that backup running back spot, and he's making it difficult. 7 carries, 53 yards, 3 catches, 19 yards. He impacts the game when he's on the field. And so I got to go with Cam Akers, Ron. He's the guy.
He seemed to turn the most heads and make – take maybe one of the biggest strides. For me, some of what he did and what he didn't do. Steve Sims. Steve Sims is my player of the game, and we'll see it. And he is another person, fellas, I am really interested in seeing what the decision is on him in terms of the roster. But I think he was helped in here. One, he had a nice long run where they got the ball in his hands, and he went for about 30-something yards on a run, had him a nice catch as well in there. But, like, the focal point for him is the return game. You know, that's, to me, how he's going to make the team. His impact is he returned kicks. Well, Des King, the first time he got a chance to return kick that he did in the first quarter, muffed it. Fumbled a kick. So if that was an option, that's a tough one. And then, because those are the three to me. It's him, Des King, and then Tank Dell. And do they want to continue to put Tank Dell back there with his injury history? Do they want to put him in there? They could, but do they want to do that? I think Steve Sims, who made some plays and some big plays in the game, but I think even bigger, what happened around him in the position that's going to be the way he makes the team, I think he had a good day with it today. Des King muffing that punt, I think that probably secured him being off the field and or off the team and maybe other things. But I thought Steve Sims really won in that game, especially in terms of his chances to make the team.
Yeah, look, I agree.
Big Steve.
I agree. I mean, he is a guy that one more player that's in that wide receiver conversation. That is a complicated situation at your 5-6 and maybe even 7 receiver, depending on how bad Noah Brown's hurt.
Yeah.
Depending on what they do with the running back position, who can return. There's no doubt about it. Sims is a guy that's in play there. I'll tell you another couple of guys. I thought Delshon Phillips on the defensive side of the football played really well. Again, we're talking linebacker depth. A guy that I think is going to make the team. But he's a guy that he's not going to get the snaps that I thought he could potentially get with Christian Harris out. Obviously, Henry Toa Toa is going to get that run, but he flashed quite a bit. Little wide receiver scored a touchdown. Johnny Johnson III. He only had a couple of catches, but did score a touchdown. He had a nice little fourth quarter, little second half there with the Texans as well. So could have went many a ways with this, but I think we got the two right, Ron.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't be this difficult. Down the road, and we got the big dogs playing. By the way, we still good Mad Dog Mondays this year?
Oh yeah.
I feel like we do need to kind of get some rules in here.
Like tighten it up a bit.
Tighten it up. Mainly like there's got to be a deal in it how many times you can use a player. I mean, we're not looking at you with your Tank Dell usage. There's got to be a cap on how many times you can use a player that we need to determine.
Well, I mean, I'm less worried about the player and more worried about whether it's you showing up with one bottle and three styrofoam cups or Tyler just not showing up with it, talking about he couldn't find it up there in his booth.
All right, do we want to do individual? Everybody gets their own individual bottle. Is that what we want to agree to?
Oh, you buy. Whoever's last place buys it.
Whoever's last place, but you got to get three individual bottles.
I'll point you to the gas station. It'll be a little bottle. You can buy the little bottles.
Yeah, I think the little bottles may be better. We were rolling them in there.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I mean, we are talking about arguably like the cheapest liquor that we could, the cheapest alcohol we could possibly buy in a store, I think, in 2024.
No, I get it. It's just, it was a lot. We're becoming wasteful.
Oh, did you feel bad about how I thought they looked good lined up across the back of the deal here?
Yeah, but then also just started running out of real estate as well.
That's fair. That's fair.
Text line, actually drink the Mad Dog. Hey man, hold on, man.
I'm not. I'm gonna tell you. I think it's a good bit. I'll take a small bottle to the head. I'm not taking a big bottle of Mad Dog to the head every Monday. I ain't doing it. Sorry, if that's the case, I'm out. The bit's done.
See, yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it. I ain't got it in me. That makes for hell. By the end of the show, I'll be groggy.
All right. The Texans. They're getting close. They're probably working at it right now, making the cuts, and I'm sure they know what they want to do. But I want you all to come from it from your own personal mindset. A little game called One's Gotta Go. Wide receiver edition first. Robert Woods, Xavier Hutchinson, John Metchie. One's got to go, and not in a way that you believe the Texans are going to make the decision, but if I gave you the hat, you the pen, as the decision maker on this, who's the one that has to go? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, one got to go as I see some people rolling in here on this thing. And I'm saying, and this from this perspective, and Tyler and Clint, I want you to jump in as well. One got to go. And I do think there is a conversation with this because I think the top four are safe, right? I think obviously the big three of Diggs, Nico Collins, and Tank Dell. And we've talked about it, Noah Brown. Now that could change some things depending on his injury situation, but we'll just play it as if he is healthy and he'll be ready to go week one. That's the four. And I do, we talked about it before. I think Steven Sims finds his way on there, and then that's five. And this leaves like two others to get to seven. And you know, most keep six, but to get to seven because you want to keep Sims. And I would say Robert Woods, Xavier Hutchinson, John Metchie. If it were up to you, not how the Texans are going to handle it, but if it were up to you, and you were the one making the call, who would be the one that would have to go? And I'm seeing some people here on the text line, a lot of Woods, Xavier Hutchinson, probably best trade piece. Wood and Hutchinson are solid. Metchie's got to go from the text line. That's been... That's been what some people are saying. If it were you, who would have to go?
Robert Woods. I just there's no, I mean, Robert Woods doesn't bring enough to the table right now for me to want to go with an older player that's not going to be here for long over these younger guys. When it comes to play, the Robert Woods advantage is he doesn't need reps. He knows the offense like the back of his hand. He knows all the positions, I would think, in the receiver room. And clearly, look, he's a vet. He's seen every coverage a defense can throw at him. He's very quarterback friendly. We're talking about a fifth receiver right now. A fourth receiver if you have an injury issue. Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie could handle those duties with a much higher up, much cheaper, and they're a much higher upside long term. I mean, Robert Woods, you could save $5 million by releasing Robert Woods or trading Robert Woods. Xavier Hutchinson, John Metchie are much cheaper options with a much higher ceiling and more potential. So I would say, given the way John Metchie played in these last two games, the way Xavier Hutchinson played in three of the four, I think, preseason games, given he plays special, Robert Woods would be the one out for me.
Yeah, and I see some people texting in Hutchinson. Like, I'm going to tell you, to me, I think there's probably an argument if you would say from the beginning of camp through the four preseason games, everything we've seen, in Orton and what has impressed, and I understand Metchie has really come on, but if you take it all, like, I think there's a real argument that Hutchinson, one, I think Hutchinson has been the most impressive of the three if you take it all. And then I think there is a statement or a case to be made that Hutchinson and Woods have been more impressive than Metchie if you take it all. He had the really great week and then showed another flash in the game on Saturday. But going to practice, everything we've seen, I would say in order, it's Xavier Hutchinson, Robert Woods, Metchie in terms of performance, what we've seen. But I'm with you. At every turn, one, who costs the most? Bob. All right, who's the oldest and whose ceiling is the lowest? Bob. And then, like, the real big point when you want to say, hey, the leadership that this dude can provide, the veteran presence that this dude can provide. Clint, I'd say what Stephon Diggs has done in that room more than gives you what Robert Woods could give you. What Stephon Diggs has done is he is one of the clear leaders of this team and one of the clear and obviously the clear leader out of that room and the wide receiver room. So, like, I don't even think Robert even brings that portion of it to the table. And, like, Xavier Hutchinson just can't be. Like, for me, every time they've put him in there and every time he's been given an opportunity, he has done something. He's doing stuff in practice. He's doing something in the joint practice. He's doing something in game. So he damn sure can't be the one for me that goes. But Robert Woods, to me, makes the absolute most sense. Now, I don't know that's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
But to me, if you're telling me I'm the decision maker, that's how it goes in my mind.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, though, because I'm going to tell you, I could make a case. We've talked about this so long and from every different angle. I literally could make a case for, if you want to throw Sims in there, you can. I can make a case for five different guys being you know, in that 5-6 slot. I mean, you can make a case for every one of those guys and why they'd get cut. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's a great problem to have. And the Texans are in a spot where they're going to have to show their cards at some point, right? Do you value the veteran insurance policy in Robert Woods? Do you value the higher ceiling and more potential with John Metchie? Do you value the do it all at an average level, utility type player in Xavier Hutchinson, right? Like, what do you value the most given your current circumstances where you got a deep wide receiver room and your thoughts are you're ready to make a run to a Super Bowl. What holds the most value? They're going to have to show their cards by 3 o'clock tomorrow.
They're going to have to do it.
And because, look, but there is the one wild card here, Ron.
Like, all three of them aren't making this team. Right?
Potentially, with Noah Brown's injury, potentially, yeah.
Really, yeah.
I don't know how bad the Noah Brown situation is, and if it's as bad as you know, or not as bad, but if it's longer, if he's going to be out longer than we expected, then sure. Yeah, I mean, I could see all three of those guys making the team. But the interesting part to it is we don't know if they're going to keep six or seven.
Yeah.
We don't know what the hell they value. We have no idea what they're going to do. You mentioned Sims earlier in a run game. We have no idea what they're going to do there. And the other thing here is I think you've got two guys in this receiver group that would have any kind of trade value whatsoever. And so we'll see how that affects things.
Yeah. So we'll see. They got to come to a conclusion with these guys. But the interesting thing is I do think maybe fans and us think differently than I think the conversations are potentially being had.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Inside. So we'll see and get some clarity on what it is that they're going to do. All right. As we continue right here on The Drive, Clint, listen, kind of come off of the Texans here for a bit. We've talked about this, who's going to be the next guy in the NBA to kind of carry this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be Anthony Edwards. I really do. And I think the league wants to push Anthony Edwards, kind of a fun kind of a guy, but now he's getting into it. Now he got into it and pissed off Magic Johnson. Now he's like, you remember the Olympics? He said, "Yeah, man, everybody, they all gonna be looking at me, like I'm yeah. the guy here. Hold your horses, just a taste." And now he's pissed off at you, Johnson. He was talking to the Wall Street Journal, and Anthony Edwards said, "Outside of Michael Jordan, nobody in that '80s era had much skill."
Wow, dude!
I didn't watch it back in the day, so that's great. So I can't speak on it, he told the Wall Street Journal.
But you are speaking on it.
They say it was tougher back then than it is now, but I don't think anybody had skill back then with the exception of Michael Jordan. Now this got back to Magic Johnson.
Mm.
Magic said, "I never respond to a guy who's never won a championship. He didn't win in college. He didn't even win in high school."
Yes. But you are responding to it.
Magic Johnson did vote back while responding to Anthony Edwards. I do think he has a chance, but you gotta, like, there's gotta be some likability there. And like, he's pushing the limits, I think, with the overall people. Just, I mean, making comments, silly.
But that's not even
like
that's not even like a, you said there's got to be like a bit,
I
like
think
that,
there's like, somewhat like.
But he's bordering on. No, I agree that there does. But I mean, that's not even like that. Don't make me dislike him anymore. That just makes me think he's got a screw loose. Like that's not even that. I mean, that's just silly. Like, why? One, you're way off base. Two, why would you insult the guys that came before you?
Yes.
Like why? Like that. That's like he. And
which I think goes to his. Lack of his issue with likability potentially.
Oh yeah, like no, it's, just, it'll yeah. impact his likability, but I don't know. It's almost to me, it's almost like it's more of a like the whole comment about the Olympics.
Yeah, like it's, what are you doing?
You're fixing to go into a locker room, whether you believe that or not. You're fixing to go into a locker room with a bunch of dudes that you got to come together and like you got to come together really quickly because you don't have a whole off season. Like it's a different animal. And you're making silly ass comments
like
he comes across as just a silly ass dude instead of a real professional. Now he can ball, now don't get me wrong, but that's what he's, in my opinion, that's what he's risking, is coming across as just silly ass dude to make silly ass comments all the time, and you can't take anything that he says seriously. And it is very hard to have that guy kind of carry the torch.
See, yeah, it was a point of like, oh, man, this guy is fun on the mic. He's fun on the mic. He's a personality.
Yeah.
And now it is moving towards, like you said, not serious.
Silly.
What the hell are you talking about?
He's silly, like, he's offending greats in the process.
Like, you're going to walk into the door. Like, it's all-time greats. It ain't Carl Anthony Towns. Like, you got Steph, LeBron, and KD. Like, yeah. all-time greats. Are you talking about, yeah, they're gonna have to play around me. And then you're going to do this, the players in the 80s. And then, as you said, sound stupid. Now, I didn't watch it, but I'm going to say they don't got skill. Like, come on, man. I think it's going to be hard to kind of center things around him. All right, what you got coming up at the 4?
All right, hey, it's a Texans Reaction Monday, y'all. And I know it is. We're priming this thing up now, getting ready for the season, but it is a Reaction Monday, and there's a couple of things that we got to rehash, that we got to discuss from Saturday's game with the Houston Texans. And college football, y'all, it didn't take college football long to get me good and turned on. I'll tell you exactly what I mean and where I'm coming from on both topics, Reaction Monday and college football. I'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.